When we arrived in New Zealand in 1990, we ended up in Waverley. Now, for those of you who don't know where Waverley is, it's slap bang in the middle of Whanganui and Hawera. And it's very pertinent about the story. Actually, you just about have to have some Whanganui connection to be part of this church. More than half the people here seem to have some connection. If you ask people, they're going, I've got family in Whanganui. But as you can see, that little sign there is actually sort of where Waverley is. And the reason I talk about this is when living in Waverley, I was doing football refereeing in Whanganui, which is down in the south of that photograph. And I would drive back every Saturday afternoon. And I always picked up hitchhikers. It's part of what I've always done since I've been in New Zealand. And actually, in fact, it's quite disappointed. There's no international travelers. I travel around, no hitchhikers to pick up. You know, what do I do now? I've got to travel on my own. But that afternoon, I picked up two or three young people, and I said to them, I'm just going to Waverley, so I'll drop you off, and I'm sure you'll get another ride on to Whanganui. We came to Waverley, and something prompted me to keep going. And I said, I'll take it home. And they said, but your house is... And I said, no, don't worry, I'll keep. And we had this great conversation. I can't remember what we talked about. And when I got to Hawera, they said, you've got to come in and meet my family because they will be amazed that someone went so far out of their way to actually bring us home. And went in and met family. And then I left. And as I left, this thought came to my mind. Oh my goodness, I had all that opportunity and didn't share the gospel once. I think it's my historical background, and Steve shared about it too, that you had to share the gospel. You had to witness to people. For years I had heard that, but I didn't do it with that group of young people. But this was the verse that came to my mind as I left. Assuredly, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. I've always had that in the back of my mind. And as Steve had asked me, I went back to this and looked, did what? And it was these things, and I'll show you further in the scripture what it actually said. Did what? It was meeting people's needs. Very, very basic needs. Gave a drink, fed, visited in prison. Clothed, took people in, gave them a home. And this is what I want to share with this morning. You see, the scripture goes on to say, then the righteous will answer the Lord. Lord, when did we see you hungry? I can't remember. And feed you. Or thirsty and give you something to drink. When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? You see, the scripture that James spoke or read was about Jesus meeting some of these basic needs. He healed people. He cared for people. And one of the things that I've come to hear is that some people are fostering, taking children in, meeting some very basic needs. Some are providing support for those going through illness. I know that there are people involved in prison ministry, breakfast clubs. These are all, when did we do that? Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it to me. And the one that I mentioned was taking people in, providing them a home. For Teresa and I, and Teresa's warned me, she said, don't say anything that I wouldn't want you to say. Because she's very modest. But Steve asked if we would share some of the things that we have been doing over the years. But Teresa and I, it is about getting people into housing. It's a real basic need nowadays. I don't know if you're aware that it's not just about providing people with a home that can be their own, even if it's to rent, but the fact of the children being affected. That's the bit that I have been, over the years, been totally astounded. And I don't think we realize just how that's impacting. One of the families I've been involved with, they had family whose children were in 5 primary schools within a period of 2 years. That has to affect how those children, they don't have a chance in terms of having a secure start to their life. In actual fact, my daughter, Tandia, she's only lived in the same house. In actual fact, she's just booked her daughter into the same kindy that she went to. I mean, I don't know how many of you actually, your children went to the same kindy. Maybe if you lived in Wanganui, that would happen. But in big cities, it's not like that. People move around. A few years ago, I was approached by the Anglican Church to share. They wanted to interview about the story of getting people into homes and the one specific story. And I tell the story so that for those of you sitting here, maybe you've never thought about the fact that, actually, I could do that. I could meet some basic need. Maybe it's only feeding. Maybe it's only giving water. But for some of you, especially if you own property, the bank is very keen to give you more money. Be wise about it. But I felt that this was worth sharing. I met this couple through a work engagement, and I was assisting them with budgeting. And what I would do is I would take the lawnmower, you know, just very simple things, take a lawnmower, and at least they didn't have to have they couldn't afford a lawnmower, so they had to pay someone every 2 weeks to do lawn mowing. And anyway, I worked for them. With their budget, until a certain point in time, I knew that they weren't telling me everything. I got a call from the business owner where he worked and said, sorry, Keith, I just need to let you know that the gentleman is actually living in a motel here in Lower Hutt. His wife has left. They've been evicted. They've gone up to their family in Auckland. He's left here to keep working with us. I thought, well, we've got to get him out of the motel first. And so he came to live with us for a period of time while we found a place for him. Over the period I worked, and one of the things that Andrew Royden said last week was when we are doing our bringing people into the kingdom of God in relationship. And as we walked and I journeyed with this this man for a period of time, the family decided that they would reconcile. So she was coming down. They had 3 primary school children. And so I went with him to look for a rented house. And as we looked around, we couldn't, some of the places, and I know they're good landlords and bad landlords, but some of the places were just atrocious. I couldn't believe that anyone thought that that was acceptable. And after a period of time, I said to Teresa, why don't we buy a house and they can rent it from us? I'm not an investor or a financial advisor, and so part of it must always make financial sense. And here's the key. It must always be in relationship. It's not just about doing something for someone out there, but doing something, assisting them. And you have to actually, as I said, it makes financial sense. So get financial advice if you need to. But this family lived with us for 5 weeks. I don't know how many of you who've got tenants have had the opportunity to screen your tenants for a 5-week period in your own home. That's got to be the best.
That's intense.
Because you can see, in actual fact, with those 3 children and the couple living in our house was never so neat, because she ran a very tight ship with her children. And they would always have to tidy and make sure the place was fine. And then we found this place, and they moved in. There's always a range of ways in which you can provide in this. I've been sharing this with a whole range of people, and there's someone that has actually been encouraged to do the same. I have to give a warning. This stuff is quite addictive. This person I've been encouraging has actually got a bit carried away with, Keith, there's another couple. Why don't we try and get them into a house too? And, oh, you don't want to contribute some finance towards that, do you? They're getting carried away. But let me tell you, the joy of the contagion of what, because I believe Jesus would have done this. Jesus would have met some basic needs. I've just recently encouraged a young couple to do the same. They want to help their family and to do it in a certain way. Is it risky? Of course it's risky. All investment is risky. But so is living a life following Jesus Christ. It is very risky. There are some things that you'll think, is this really something that I want to do? Remember, those disciples followed Jesus. They gave up their job to follow. Being a follower of Christ does hold a bit of risk. But the joy, and also just about the risk, we're a bit, Teresa, my wife, is particularly risk averse. I think we would have bought more houses to help more people if it wasn't for Teresa, because she's, you've got to be careful. What happens if the market drops and things like that? So if you are risk averse, that's fine. But it is possible to actually do something. Let me show you the scripture and point this out. When Jesus was feeding the 5,000, did you notice that when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, when he saw that need, watch what it says. He had compassion on them. It comes out of a desire of feeling for those. And then he healed the sick. And then as evening approached, he's done that sickness, healing sickness, and then it's getting late. And then the disciples said, send them away. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. I can just imagine the disciples actually sort of thinking, us? Look at the next verse. We don't have much. For those of you who are thinking, what can I do? Me? I've got to do something. I don't have much. That's the point. It is what you have that God takes and multiplies, amazingly so, to the point where you are astounded as to how these needs can be met. You don't have to start with giving a home, although I do believe that there are people here who I could encourage to consider that. I know that there have been people who have talked about it and talked to me about it, taking people in. But clothing, very basic. Visit in prison. I know of some people who are involved in prison fellowship. Feeding. Giving a drink. Whatever basic need you can meet. I think Jesus encourages us through his own way, in his own example, to do something. Inasmuch as he did it to one of the least of these, my brethren. The least in the world's eyes, in the community's eyes. These are people that bad choices, Keith. They actually, you know, it's just unfortunate, and they just, and the government has to do something about this. No, no, Jesus' view was, you do something. You've done it unto me. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you, through Jesus living a life here on earth, showed us the way in which we can be witnesses to the great God, and being able to follow, to show people by our action, to show people how they can become followers of Christ. Lord, I pray that you will inspire by your Spirit ideas and thoughts in our mind, that we can be those people who will be contagious in being followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, worship team. It feels like a life group, actually, rather than a full church. So you're allowed to maybe say something back to me, because we're only small. Let's just ask, Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Teresa and I arrived from South Africa in 1990, and we ended up in a little place called Waverley. Now, not many people in New Zealand outside of around here seem to know where Waverley is, but just about everyone in this church knows, and the reason for that is it's not far from Whanganui, and you just about have to have a connection with Whanganui to be at this church. In actual fact, I look at Amelia, there's one degree of separation in terms of that. And so Waverley was slap bang in the middle of between Whanganui and Hawera. And when we were living there, I got involved in football refereeing in Whanganui. And every Saturday afternoon, I would go into Whanganui from Waverley, and then in the afternoon head back home. And I've always picked up hitchhikers. People say to me, oh, Keith, you know, must be careful. But I really love picking up hitchhikers and talking to them. And I'm very disappointed at the moment because there's no international travelers. Actual fact, in some of the times that I've picked up hitchhikers, I've brought them home. They come home and they say to Teresa, are you okay? And Teresa just rolls her eyes and says, you know, another kid does this all the time. So that particular afternoon, I picked up two or three young people who were going to Hawera. And I was only going to Waverley. I said, I'll drop you off and then head. You can get a lift up to Hawera. As I was driving, I got to Waverley, and something prompted me to keep going. And I just kept driving. And they said, oh, don't you live here? And I said, I'll take you home. I had this big shock in the face because I mean, I'm doubling my distance. When we arrived in Hawera, they said, you've got to come inside and meet my our family, because who's this person that would go out of their way to take us? Met the family, chatted, and made my way back. And as I left, this thought came to my mind. Oh my goodness, I had all this opportunity, and not once did I share the gospel with them. Not once did I witness, as Steve shared on the very first part of Contagious Christianity. It came from that, this is what we have to do. And it was almost, you were guilted into doing things. And by the way, that should never be how we share our faith with others. We share our faith with others because our heart's desire is for those people. But this verse came to mind as I left. And the king will answer and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Someone came to me after the service and said, this verse has actually been playing on their mind as well. Did it to the least. What do they mean, the least? The people on the margins, the people that society doesn't seem to be that interested in. But we've done it unto Christ. If we've done what? This is what the verse before says. Meeting people's needs. Meeting people's basic needs. Did you notice? It's giving a drink. It's feeding. It's visiting in prison. It's clothing. It's taking people in. Giving them a home. I want to come back and talk about that a bit more. But look at all those things. This is not a big thing. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to Christ. This is what the verse before says. Then the righteous will answer, but Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? They can't remember. They can't even... It's so strange for them. When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. In the scripture that James read, it talked about Jesus healing and Jesus feeding. Again, some very basic needs that Jesus met. That was how Jesus operated. That's we as followers of Christ, becoming more like Christ. That's how we operate. And we move in that direction. Doesn't mean we like that all the time. That is where our heart is. And I know that there are people. I know that there are people meeting some basic needs, like fostering children. I am astounded and blown away by that kind of commitment that people do. There are those who provide support for those going through illness. Day, week after week, I've heard those stories of people who have been getting alongside. There are those involved in prison fellowship, walking with these people, and when they come out, they continue to walk with them, providing some basic needs. For us, it's that part of taking them in. For Teresa and I, it's about getting people into housing, a real basic need. And Teresa warned me that I've got to make sure that I don't say anything that she wouldn't want me to say, so I just have to be careful what I do say. But it is a real basic need. One of the things, this is what we've been doing over the years, is discovering that when people rent and when they move around, the children are the ones that are impacted. That's what has become more. I thought it was about the adults who, you know, don't have a place to call their own. But now I've discovered, and one of the families that we were involved in, the children had been in 5 primary schools within a 2-year period. That has to be impacting the lives of these families. Things that we don't even realize. Because I talk about my own daughter. My daughter has known no other house except the one we've lived in since she was born. And some of you are probably in the same position. In actual fact, next term, my daughter takes her child to start kindy, the same kindy that she was in. I mean, that's like, how unusual is that? You know, people, unless you're from Whanganui, I think, but you stay in Whanganui, then I think that does happen. But most in big cities, it's not like that. And so when Steve set up the series on contagious, he asked me to share some of the kind of thing that we were doing to show. This is the purpose for sharing. As I was approached by the Anglican Church to do an interview on what we do, and this is what they said: Keith, we want you to tell your story so that other people can realize that they can do this too. And keep in mind, I only did this when we were in our 50s. So there's some of you who are young who think we're not in that position to be able to do something like this. That's fine. You've got lots of time to get to that point. And for those of you who may be in a position to actually consider this, I met this couple in a work situation. They were having issues at work. I assist with resolving problems in workplaces. And when I was called in by the owner, and I met with this staff member, we soon discovered that part of the underlying problems was the fact of his budget. And I said to the owner, don't worry, I'll help him with some budgeting. And he said to me, oh, that's very kind of you. I'll pay for it, he said. I said, no, this is voluntary stuff that we do. He wanted to pay me my consulting rate for doing budgeting. I mean, that was very nice of him, but I said, no, we do this voluntary. He said, you sure? And I met with this family a period of time, taking over a lawnmower, you know, to save them a bit of money here and there, and working alongside with them. I got a call from the owner after a period of time. I hadn't seen them for a while, and the owner called me and said, oh, by the way, Keith, they've just been evicted from their house. The wife has gone up to Auckland with the three primary school children, and he is living in a motel here in Lower Hutt. That was a Saturday morning, and I thought, well, first of all, we've got to get him out of the motel, because this is costing him. And so we went, and I called Teresa, as she gets often, and said, can we actually have this guy look with us? Again, you know, Teresa rolls her eyes and goes, yeah, I suppose we've done this before, let's help again. And so we journeyed with this particular person for a period of time. I met with him. Remember what Andrew Royden said last week? When we are sharing Christ, we are sharing it in relationship. This is not some distant thing. This is walking with these people. At some point, the family determined to reconcile. And we went looking for a house for him. Terrible conditions. I know all landlords aren't the same, but some of these houses are just terrible. Who thinks that someone actually can live in a place like this is what we saw. Because I knew he didn't have much of a budget. And after looking at some houses, keeping in mind, when you go to look at a house to rent, there are about 20 plus people who come to view. He was evicted. That's his last rental. He doesn't have a chance. It was at that point that I said to Teresa, because we had been doing this over a period of time, let's buy them a house and they can rent it from us. This is something that is possible. In actual fact, how do I know it's possible? I just met with a couple not too long ago, in their 20s. They own a house. They've said, Keith, we've heard about some of the stuff you do. Is it possible for us to do something like that? In their 20s. They've got a little bit of equity. And I said this to them, because they think I'm this property investor. I'm not a property investor. I just want to help people. Why? That's what Jesus did. He had compassion and met their needs. The thing I said to this young couple is it must always make financial sense, and it must always be in relationship. It's not just doing something and then, oh, right, we've given the money, we've helped them, and now they over there. Now you walk and journey alongside with those people. And so we actually, this couple, we bought the house and then we were waiting for settlement. So they lived with us. A couple and three primary school children living with us for 5 weeks. There are not too many landlords that get the opportunity to screen their tenants for 5 weeks in their own home. That's really got to be good. So you can even do that. My word, the house was never as tidy. Because she ran a tight ship with her children. There was no nonsense. And by the way she looked after that house was like a... Part of what we do is at some point that they can purchase the property from us. And I just said that to one of my tenants. Have you thought about using your KiwiSaver and at some point purchasing the house? They looked up at me and just, we've been talking about that. And we're not going to make as much money as we could, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is to meet that need. And it's something that I want you. And you can do it in different ways, by the way. I'm encouraging people to do the same. I must put a warning here, because one of the people that I have been assisting has become a little bit addicted to this. The person calls me and says, Keith, there's another family. Shall we buy another house for them? I said, you can share some of... You know, because equity, if you've got equity, the bank seems to be very willing to lend you money. Can I put a word of warning here? It must make financial sense. Speak to a financial advisor. But try to speak to a financial advisor who understands the Kingdom of God principles. Very important. Because if it's just about making the maximum return, then I'm not sure that this is the right thing. But if you want to invest in God, I guarantee you'll be blown away by how you can actually do some of these things. It's risky, but any investment is risky, and living in the Kingdom of God is definitely risky. So, and you don't have to be concerned if you are risk averse. Teresa can tell you that she's not too keen on some of the decisions, because she just wants to make sure that we are thinking very carefully. And that's fine. You can actually do that. You see, in that reading that James did, here's the heart of Jesus, and this is our heart. It's out of when Jesus landed and saw the crowd. He saw the people. His whole thinking was, they are in need. What did he do? He had compassion on them. And that's how we do the clothing, the feeding, the taking them in. It's a compassion that we have. And where your compassion is different. Maybe this is not for you in terms of purchasing properties. But Jesus met their need. He healed the sick. And then the feeding. And then you see what the disciples did. They said, send these crowds away. And Jesus said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You see what Jesus' point is? You do something. And their legitimate response is, how can we do anything? And I think that's what people say to me. How can I do something? I don't have much. That's the whole point. This is not about you. This is about Jesus taking what you have, your little, my goodness, five loaves and two fish. That's nothing. So if your sense is, I don't have much, that's a good place. because that's when Jesus comes and takes and blesses it and actually multiplies it. Maybe you can give a drink or feed or visit in prison. Maybe you can clothe basic needs or take people in. Whatever the basic need that you can meet, we're called to do something. Why? Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, the people who don't seem to come in our society, the people on the margins, you did it unto Christ. You did it to God. And that is what I pray, that in this short time that you can see how contagious it can be for you in where you can meet that need. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word and for your challenge to us to be contagious in the way we live Christ-like lives. What would Jesus do in this situation? Jesus met some very basic needs. We pray that you would encourage us, speak to us individually, so that we know and that we can follow in your footsteps. We pray this in Jesus' name.